Welcome back to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Cedar Sarton. What's
up? It's so good to be here.
I'm glad. And you know what? I was walking outside today, and I was like, it is not nearly as hot.
It felt wonderful this morning. When I got up this morning and got in the car, I was like, man, I just want to sit out here.
Yeah. We're going to have like a couple of days of, wow, it's like nice, cool, upper 80 degrees weather, and then it's going to go back to
100. Right back to just hot.
Yeah.
In the I know it's supposed to be like 90s something next week. That's Fahrenheit, people.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure only Fahrenheit people are listening to us right now. But yeah.
We've got some people.
We have some Celsius out there.
I don't know.
It's a better system.
I know
that
AFA does have some followers, like some listeners, out of the country. So,
Well, if you're a part of the metric system, I am jealous. It is a better system.
What is 90 degrees? I don't know if I have good service in here.
I'm not going to be able to.
But let's just say it's hot.
It's hot.
And it's Mississippi.
So it's humid.
It's humid heat, which is, it's muggy.
It's the worst kind of heat.
Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes it'll rain. Wonderful. Feels like during the rain, everything cools down a little bit. Feels so good.
Summer rain is the best.
But then the clouds disperse and the sun bears down on the new rain.
It's like a bathroom after a hot shower, except with bugs everywhere.
Yeah, and like mosquitoes.
Yeah, mosquitoes. Our national bird.
Oh, yeah. And also, like, I've probably told you this before, I prefer to drink my water, not inhale it. So,
yeah, me too.
But I will say there's probably places that are a lot worse than here, so.
Yeah, probably just in the jungles, but, you know, we're.
But we're going to be, well, Florida maybe.
Florida, yeah.
So we're just.
At least I got the beach, but whatever.
There are other things we could complain all day about the weather, but, you know, we're very blessed.
We are getting ready for fall at our house because. Something really cool happened. Last year, we threw a pumpkin out, just like out kind of like in the front yard in a corner that's hard to cut the grass.
Are you growing pumpkins now?
We harvested two fully grown orange pumpkins so far, and there's like at least two more coming in.
Life hack.
I know. Like, we haven't touched these things. Like this grew, and we're like, oh, there's a pumpkin plant. Let's just leave it and see what happens.
You basically stole pumpkin.
Yeah.
You wouldn't steal a pumpkin, would you? Okay. You remember those old like ads at the beginning of the movies? Is like you wouldn't like steal this, and you know, it's talking about illegal downloads, and that's what right now I'm just getting that.
Yeah, we illegally downloaded these pumpkins in our front yard. It feels like that because usually you have to work really hard to cultivate these things. We didn't do a thing, and we're just harvesting them. Like crazy.
But now you've got your pumpkins. Like if y'all decided to like, y'all should carve jack-o'-lanterns.
We're going to do that. That's the plan. They're sitting there waiting.
I'll be over.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to come over.
We'll have a big old carving party.
I'm just going to show up. I don't even know where you live. You're going to be like.
You'll follow me home one day.
I'll figure it out.
But yeah. Anyway, so yeah, fall hopefully around the corner. And as part of that, a lot of people, well, already – are going back to school, right?
Oh, yeah, they're well into school.
I say that with some uncertainty because I'm a homeschooled kid. I don't know what you public school people are doing or have done or what y'all do. Like
they've been in school for a few weeks now.
Yeah.
And I'm well out of school.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk
Me
about
too.
We don't have to get, yeah. We actually, my class just celebrated their 15 years of being out of high school. This is high school. This is like.
We're so old.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here in this moment and have you just trash my. I'm older than you though.
By 1 year. I mean, come on. We would have been in this probably around the same whatever.
But they've been in school for a few weeks now, and so it's really into full swing. If I can talk. Yeah. But I still know when school is going on because my mom's a teacher.
Right.
So I get to hear about it. And a lot of listeners, if you've been listening for a long time, you probably know the difference like here between me and Jordan is because I was a full public school kid.
And I was a full homeschool kid.
Yeah.
So it's very different.
And I know your mom, like, and you still have like, you have several siblings. You have a lot of siblings.
I'm one of seven.
Yeah. And do you have one more that's still in school?
I have two little brothers who still live at home. One just turned 20.
Yeah,
so
but he's not in.
He's out. I mean, he's out of school, but he's college age.
But you have one that's still doing homeschool. And I know this because your mom has been proudly posting her, we're up and at it early
pictures. This is her thing.
Yeah, this absolutely. This is not get up at noon and do your school. Like, she is like, get up.
Get up at 6.
Like, they're the only benefit to you being homeschooled is that you don't have to leave the house. But
it's we did sometimes leave the house, but like,
well, homeschool groups,
yeah,
obviously.
Homeschool groups and field trips but my favorite thing about being homeschooled was just the ability to get up, get everything done ahead of time, and just have the whole day to do whatever. Most of the time, do whatever mom wants you to do, but in general, you got a lot more free time that way. But you know what?
I was not homeschooled.
Right.
Kindergarten through my senior year,
yeah.
Public school, in the same public school, so I went to school with all the same kids for years, and that is a whole different beast.
It's a whole different thing.
Yeah. and that's kind of like where we want to focus today.
Yeah.
We want to talk about that, the whole public school, because there are a lot of Christian parents I know that are struggling more and more each year with the public school situation, but some parents, that is the option they have.
Yeah.
Like, with the things, with the way things are financially for a lot of people, they can't afford to one parent sit out and focus on schooling. And the schooling is a lot of work.
Yes,
if you really want to help your kids. Sometimes it takes more than just a little time in the afternoon. You have to really work at it like the teachers do.
Mm-hmm. People can't. That's the only
thing. Yeah. Okay. So, and anyways, so... A lot of parents can't financially stay home and focus on the schooling. So their option is public school. And that's kind of like it was for me.
Yeah.
Of course, growing up, I didn't know any homeschool kids. I just thought public school was it. You just went to the, you turned 5 and you got on the school bus and went to school. That's what I thought. And so like, how do you navigate that as a Christian parent trying to raise Christian kids? Yeah. Because at public school, there you don't have any control.
Yes.
I mean, I guess you do have somewhat control. Like,
you can
have influence over like the school if the parents, you know, work together to make sure that they're not bringing in things that you find inappropriate.
Right.
Here in this area, we don't have as much of that.
Not as much.
Yeah. But you can't control what the other kids are saying.
Yeah, that's the other half of the equation. Yeah, so like it is a concern, and I see this just from the news. Here we in the stand, we look at news and try to kind of put it down into digestible bits for every magazine called Issues at Hand. It's like a really good segment in our magazine.
And I will say that if you want to get your copy of this magazine each month, you can go to afa.net/thestand and find that. And I believe if you are new to this and you've not been getting the stand, you can get 6 months free.
I believe that is the right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you want that copy, if you want that coming to your home each month, please go to afa.net/thestand.
Absolutely. Especially if you want to read articles from me, because I got articles in there every month. But yeah, so we cover education matters occasionally. And one thing that I do see coming up more recently is so take a state like California, where they've recently passed some sort of legislation, and I can't remember every little detail about it, but they recently passed this legislation that gives – essentially instructs teachers that, hey, if you have a child who is exhibiting gender dysphoria or confusion about their gender identity, and they want to change their preferred pronouns, they want to be transgender, be treated as the opposite gender that they were born with, then you don't have to tell the parents.
You
can keep that a secret from their parents. And so that's like an extreme thing that is happening, but it is happening. And what we have seen is when a state like California, that's very culturally influential in our nation, when they adopt a certain thing, there is a gradual eastward sort of sweep with this ideology. And so in a state like Mississippi, where generally speaking, our values are a bit more traditional, a bit more conservative, especially compared to California, it's not out of the possibility where something like that could happen here. And so, you know, that is a concern that I think is a valid concern when it comes to public school, even though this is really the only option for a lot of people and a vast majority of people nowadays. It is a concern that, hey, because when you take discipleship or a great chunk of discipleship out of the parents' hands and give it over to the state, you're going to have some things in there that the parents are not going to like. And so that is something to be aware of and to be praying about, really.
Yeah. I think one of the first steps is knowing what's happening and what's going on.
Yeah.
And creating this space of open dialogue and conversation with your kids.
Yeah.
There are some things, obviously, you can't share with your children, maybe, but there are times when you need to be open and honest with your kids.
Yeah.
So they feel they see that relationship and they want to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll be more, hopefully more willing to share with you what's going on at school.
Yeah.
And that means, I think, taking interest even in the small details,
mm-hmm.
because those lead to the big details. And so maybe take time with your kid each day when they come home from school and sit down and ask them, like,
yeah.
What'd you learn at school today?
Yeah.
And maybe it'll just be a day of, well, we learn division and math, and these are some of the vocabulary words that I'm working on and stuff. And that may be all it is that day, and that's fine. But eventually, when that is the norm for them each day, and y'all have a discussion about it, they're going to be like, well, so-and-so at school said this.
Yeah.
Is this true? Is this right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that, you know, just leads to those kinds of conversations where you can get ahead of
some
of the things that maybe even other students are saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, like, it doesn't have to be a very formal thing. It can just be taking advantage of that time that you have. Now, again, I'm a stranger to the whole public school system. When a child comes home, I don't know exactly what time school gets out, you know, how much time during the day, during a school week you have with your kids. But in those times during the day, when they've come home from school and then the weekends, like taking full advantage of that time and having friendly and like not grilling them, but just friendly and positive, constructive conversations.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be even as pointed as like, so tell me what you've been learning in school, because maybe they don't want to think about that. But if
you're like, oh, I've been doing that today.
Yeah. This is Saturday, Dad. But talking to them about, hey, like, I saw you reading that book. Do you like it? You know,
what's it about?
That kind of thing. What's it about?
Even if you already know what mm-hmm. it's about.
Or
know.
Even if they're displaying an interest in something, like they have a TV show that they like to watch or something that a game that they like to play, like take an interest in that. Like,
yeah.
And not in like a patronizing way, like you need to like put that down and do something more constructive. But like, hey, this is something that they're really interested in. Start talking to them about it.
Yeah.
See what it's about. And you will find that that's a quick way to get into what are you really thinking about when you're like sitting there being quiet.
And I know that there's a large possibility that you and your children will have different interests.
Absolutely.
I don't have any children myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, like one of my things, my fears is like, I'm going to have a kid that's into sports, and I'm not going to know where to go with that.
Yeah. Me as the nerd, like that would be really
hard. I'm not going to know what to do with it. But
even
if that is the case, you're like, I don't understand this.
Yeah.
I don't understand this interest in stuff. Right. If you take the time
mm-hmm.
to show an interest, even if you don't understand it, even if you still don't care for it,
yeah.
but you allow them to share with you about that,
absolutely.
That's going to mean the world to them. And then again, like I said, that leads to them being willing to share huge details of things going on later on.
Well, because I think that's when you've earned their trust.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think, well, they should just trust me because I'm their parent. Well, I think trust is earned. I mean, because
even as a parent,
if you every time they bring up something, hey, they really want to talk about this because they're excited about it or they're interested in it, and you can't really relate, and so you put it down. You might make fun of it. You might say something negative about it.
Even if you just go, yeah, that's nice, honey, and then you move on.
That's it.
And that's all they get from you. They're going to shut down.
Yeah.
And they're going to stop. Eventually, they're going to quit. They're going to age out of wanting to share.
Yeah. Because right now, like especially younger kids, they want you to approve of them, and they want you to you to see them, and they want to feel heard. And so when they're bringing that interest to you, and even if it's something really silly or, you know, whatever, like a game that they're playing or whatever, and you have an opportunity there to connect with that real person and to build that bridge of trust that later on when something really comes up, they know that they can go to you with this thing and they're not going to feel like, oh, well, you just judge me all the time. Mm-hmm. So why would I go to you? Or yeah. you make fun of me all the time. So why would I go to you with this really, really important thing? So, yeah, building that trust in those times that you do have with them on the weekends, on the holidays, whatever, will go a long way to having that window into their world when they are at school, when they are around other people, you know, having that little window into seeing what are the other influences in their life that I would not know about otherwise.
Yeah.
And how do I need to be praying for them? How do I need to be guiding them and building up their character? And doing this in a way that's constructive and positive and not, you know, every time they come home, they can expect a scolding because of this thing they're curious about or something that they heard, you know, that kind of thing. You need to build that approachability and trust.
Mm-hmm. And I know, like I said earlier, when you're at home, you have control, lot of control over what kind of influences come in. Mm-hmm. But you do not fix the seating chart at school, where they're who they're beside, who they eat lunch with,
mm-hmm.
during the breaks when there's no class and they're able to just talk freely.
Yeah.
What are these other kids who do not live in your home and are not taught by you? What mm-hmm. are they bringing to your kid? And I think encouraging your kids in their friendships and who they choose to be friends with, encouraging them to pick like good influences in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
is very important as well.
And helping them to be good influence as well. And I know that's going to be really hard for a lot of kids. If they were like me, I was fairly quiet and mm-hmm. Was definitely not the leader of the group if I was in a group.
Mm-hmm.
But even just being the parent who is the one who's inviting people over for the parties, you know, inviting people over for the movie nights, that kind of thing. If your kid has friends that they want to spend time with, they really enjoy being around at school, taking an interest in that relationship as well,
mm-hmm.
even if this kid maybe doesn't come from a Christian family, isn't necessarily the best influence, you could be a good influence, and you could lead the way in that relationship between your child and this other kid, showing your kid, hey, this is the way to sort of, you know, lead in the relationship and to be, you know, a good influence.
Yeah.
And this is how to talk with people respectfully, and you be that good influence to both of them.
Yeah. I kind of think of some of the stories that we've heard from, we have some of our bosses here, Walker and Wesley mm-hmm. Wildman,
mm-hmm.
obviously the grandsons of Brother Don Wildman,
yeah.
who founded AFA, and them talking about the times with their dad, like helping coach and really taking like the other kids, you know, who maybe didn't have that good home life under his wing. And then, and he's passed that kind of influence on because he's got two sons, you know, and they're, you know, and they really are family focused as well.
Yeah.
And they kind of have taking on that role, and you could be that person for the other kids
Absolutely.
As well, and maybe give them the opportunity to turn things around in their life despite their upbringing.
Absolutely. Now, we did kind of talk about a little bit beginning, like some concerns about things that not necessarily coming from their, you know, classmates, but things that are actually coming from the school.
Yeah.
Thankfully, like we kind of pointed out, like here in our home state of Mississippi, that isn't as big an issue as it could be.
But if you're in this kind of region, if mm-hmm. you're living in a place and you're like, well, we still have so many good Christian teachers and influences in the school, don't completely just take that for granted and turn a blind eye to
Don't
everything.
Take your hand off the wheel.
Yeah.
That's not good. It's good to be thankful for that. But yeah, like what we see happening in other parts of our country, like that could just go away one day.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take very many people to make that go away. So being aware and just being connected and understanding what's going on, I think, is absolutely key. But, you know, say, for instance, you are just one person and maybe you don't live in an area where you can just sort of take that for granted. What if you do live in a place like California? Then having your child come and they – maybe bring something to you that's like, hey, mom, dad, I heard this today in school. Is this true? Or I heard this today. One of my teachers said this thing, and it sounded kind of – it sounded like we've talked about this before. You know, what do you think? Being able to thoughtfully and prayerfully navigate some of those issues, I think, is something that every parent needs to do. But especially, you know, if your kid's coming home and with something that is troubling, knowing how to react. Now, I don't fully understand how much influence a parent has in a classroom. I think that there is probably a good checks and balance thing going on. There should be, but maybe having relationships with the teachers, if you can, would be good. Just to know, hey, this teacher kind of comes from this background, has this sort of worldview, and that's something to be aware of. Or maybe there's a teacher who, you know, maybe struggling and wants to teach something but can't because of the system that they're in. Finding ways to support that person in their job in a constructive way, I think there's a lot of things that a parent probably could do.
Definitely know who your kids' teachers are. And again, that's another thing to ask about when your kids come home. Like, who, you know, ask them about the teacher. So, like, what is this teacher said about, you know, like, what has your teacher been teaching you?
Yeah.
And if something comes up that's like, oh, that's kind of a touchy subject. What did Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so or Coach So-and-so, what did they say about that?
Yeah.
Like, what did they say? And then you'll kind of know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if your kid is listening in class,
you'll
know what you're dealing with. And it all starts at home. It all starts with the home life. It goes back to building that relationship. And also, I think building these patterns for their life where you, I know most evenings at my sister's house, my brother-in-law or my sister, they all sit down. And my sister's kids are five and under.
Yeah.
They don't have the time to know what they're talking about. But there's this routine where they read the Bible together.
Yes.
And pray together.
That's good. That's good.
And you start there. And that, I mean, that's, I mean, really, maybe they don't understand, but they ask questions sometimes. Like, what about so-and-so? And you can ask them questions. And they hear more, and they hear and they really absorb more than you would think sometimes.
Yeah.
And they can tell you things.
That's good.
And it start, you start drilling that in from the moment, like.
Yeah. Bring them home from the hospital.
Immediately. Well, yeah.
Exactly.
Pray over your new baby.
Absolutely.
Read scripture over your new baby. But just make that, as they grow older, make that a part of, like, that is, they know every day that that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. As I went through growing up and becoming an adult and all that stuff, a lot of those scriptures that I was taught, like during scripture memory and all that stuff, they're locked in there.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, I, in times when I maybe wasn't in there doing the things that I was supposed to do, wasn't living like I was supposed to live.
Yeah.
Those scriptures would come back to me. And at that time, they were haunting me.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They were really, like, making me feel bad. And that's what they, I mean, because I wasn't living the way I was supposed to, you know. So then later on, when your kid grows up and thinks they know all that and they're straying, they won't be able to run away from the things that you taught them.
Right. I like the idea. I've heard somebody say this before, the verse that says, train up a child in where they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's better translated, and it will not depart from him. And because,
for real.
Yeah, because it won't. I was that kid who dad would sit me down on the couch with all of my siblings, and we would have a nearly nightly Bible time as a family. And that was highly influential in my life. And I think that's a great point to bring up, too, because if you are having to put your kid in school, and if that's a choice that you made, or if that's your only choice available to you, either way, your child's going to be in two different cultures. It's going to be in the culture of the public school, and it's going to be in the culture of your home. Now, you can't really control that of the public school as a parent. You can't, that's out of your realm. That's out of your authority. You may have some influence, but largely,
and you should wield it.
And you should wield. You should be involved. But largely, there are going to be things that are out of your hands. But within your home, you set that culture, and it's not usually through just the edicts that you pass down, the laws that you write, that kind of thing. Those are the shell. It's really what you do and what you say and how you live.
Yeah.
That determines what the culture of your household is. So lead by example. If you want your child to go to school the next day and to be a kind person, start modeling that kindness at home. Show them, not tell them, show them the kind of person that they should be. And that is how you disciple a child at home. And then when they go off, I mean, there will be other influences, and some of those influences will pull them the other way. And that's just reality. Even if you're homeschooled, that's reality. But hopefully your influence, especially if you're praying and you're reading the word, that will win out. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal. That's the goal.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know that, like I said earlier, that a lot of parents don't feel like they have the option.
Yeah.
To homeschool, and I mean, I know that's really hard.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of parents who would like to homeschool, so they know that their kids are being taught what they believe. But if you're not, like just really being involved.
Yeah.
Involved is the word of the day.
Yeah.
Be involved. Know what's going on. Because I know it when in the busyness of life, mm-hmm. when you've come home from work and you're just tired, it's easy just to be like, just shut off and trust. Mm-hmm. Your kid's home safe.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine.
Yeah.
They learn some math and English and history and whatever, and you're like, they're fine.
Yeah.
But taking that little extra time each day,
mm-hmm.
Just to, like I said, be involved and know what's going on,
mm-hmm.
that can make the biggest difference. I think that's what, I don't know if that's what I started out
mm-hmm.
being the theme.
Right.
But again, that also goes for your kids who are being homeschooled, though. Being involved,
absolutely.
Knowing what's going on, mm-hmm. knowing what they're, what's going on with them outside of your mm-hmm. influence all around, I think
absolutely.
Is important.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And like always, we talk about sharing truth and applying scripture, and that's really what we should be doing every day, whether we're parents or not, whether we're homeschooling or sending them to public school. Either way, we need to be deep in the word and in daily prayer. If you want to know more about AFA, you can go to afa.net, afa.net/thestand if you want to read some articles, a lot of them about parenting, actually.
Yeah. Which is AFR.net pretty cool. If you mm-hmm. want to look up more of the podcast and shows that we have.
Absolutely. And until next week, guys, continue to share truth and apply scripture.